We are continuing a series that we have really just begun. It's going to run for a couple weeks here, and it is questions that Jesus asked. Questions that Jesus asked. If you know anything about how Jesus engaged his audience, maybe a pedagogical methodology that he used was asking questions. Instead of just simply telling or giving information, Jesus engaged the listener by asking them questions. And so we've started, I think, 2 weeks ago, and this is our third Sunday of looking at questions that Jesus asked. If you have your Bible with you this morning, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. And it reads, "Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, whenever I found out that I was going to be speaking from this scripture a few weeks back, a memory immediately rushed into my mind. When I was a kid growing up in the church, we would go on these retreats, and there started to be these T-shirts that stuck out to me that I remember seeing. And I don't know if you remember from the 90s, there was this line of T-shirts that was called witness wear. And so I grew up in the church, and my dad was a pastor, and I'd heard this word witness, and it had a lot of baggage for me, because you never know, you may show up for Wednesday night and then everybody decides to go and knock on doors. And so, you know, maybe we were knocking on doors witnessing, or maybe we had, you know, a piece of paper or something that we were going to hand out, or we were going to stand on the street corner. Like, there was a lot of ideas around baggaging it, witnessing it. And as a 10-year-old boy, you know, this was a little odd for me at times, and uncomfortable. And so when I was a kid and on one of these retreats to Gatlinburg, I believe somewhere in the Bible it states that all youth groups have to make a pilgrimage to Gatlinburg at some point in the life of the youth group. And so we were at Gatlinburg, and I started to see these shirts that were called witness wear. And so in my 10-year-old mind, I thought, you know, this is a great solution to a problem that I have. Like, I get extremely uncomfortable with the idea of going up to complete strangers, so maybe I can just wear a T-shirt and it'll do the work for me. And so when I found out I had this passage of scripture, you'll find out here in a minute that it relates to the T-shirt that I finally chose. But as I was preparing my message, I probably spent a disproportionate amount of time preparing this little slideshow you're about to see, because it was just so fun to see the T-shirts, these witness wear shirts that were out, and to think about how silly my mindset was at 10 years old of how, you know, I'll just get the right shirt and that'll do all the work, right? That'll handle it. And so some of the shirts that we had back then were shirts like this. It says, "Yo, are you too deaf to hear the Lord?" Right? And so this one, I'm sure, was very effective at times of causing someone to ask, you know, have I heard from the Lord lately? And we were really into neon colors in the 90s. And so, you know, this one is "Our God is an Awesome God." It was a great song and just a great image. And maybe you were someone that, you know, you liked name brand, but you also wanted to, you know, share the gospel. You might get a shirt like this where someone's like, "I really like your Calvin Klein shirt." And then when they get close enough, you've witnessed to them, because it says Christ is the King. And then this was a classic, you know, you may have had a friend that went to Gold's Gym or something, and you went to the Lord's Gym, right? The Lord's Gym. And then if you were really bold in your witness wear. You might wear this one that says, you know, how's my witness? Call 1-800-MY-JESUS and let me know how I'm doing, right? And so as a 10-year-old boy thinking, you know, this shirt is going to solve all my anxiety around the idea of witnessing, I settled on this one because I thought it was hilarious, right? It's this little cartoon character. I knew nothing about the passage. And when I think about it, I called my brother this week and we were talking about it. On the back of it, in huge letters, it said, "You hypocrite." And then in small letters, it said, you know, take the speck out of your, you know, take the log out of your own eye, you know, before you take the speck. And I say all that to kind of create this idea that in my little 10-year-old mind, thinking that something like a t-shirt was going to solve all of the anxieties I had about what it meant to be a witness for Jesus was nonsensical. It was silly. And it was just as effective for the kingdom, I would argue, as judging. You know, too often we think that if we judge, or maybe we twist the words, and maybe we call judging loving. I don't know. But sometimes we think that by judging, that we are effective in sharing the love of Christ. And Jesus is dealing with a group of religious people, right? He's more than likely dealing with Pharisees. There's this understanding of here are people who hold the law over other people. They are judging people in the name of God. And so Jesus says, in the very beginning of our passage, before he even gets into his line of questioning, he doesn't want to blur the lines. He says very plainly, do not judge. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. He tells them, don't judge. Don't judge. And then he goes into this line of questioning. And Jesus doesn't really leave any space for ambiguity. There's two people. There's two people in this life. Those that have specks and those that have logs in their eye. And somebody falls into each category. Like no one is ready to judge because no one is free of the log or the speck. So Jesus is speaking to everyone. And everyone that listens, what Jesus has to say applies to them. And so he frames this by asking two questions. The first question he asks is this: why do you see? Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye when you have a log sticking out of your own eye? Now, this is a silly imagery that Jesus is using, you know, so silly that a 10-year-old boy was attracted to the idea of it on a shirt, right? This idea of someone walking around with a log sticking out of their eye. But I think Jesus is leaning on the absurdity of this, right? Who are you to look at a speck in someone's eye when you've got this log sticking out of your eye? Why do you see? Why do you see something in someone else? I don't know if you have ever, you know, rubbed, you know, on your eyes and then when you release it, you know, you see like the spots and all this stuff. When I was a kid growing up in church, there were, you know, we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There was no kids church back then. It was just preaching all three times. And so I used to like stare up at the ceiling and then I'd press on my eyes and look at the ceiling again and, you know, see the types of things that you could, you know, could create while doing that. And the point that I bring is that when you do that, your vision is obscured, right? Are there really marks on the ceiling? No, right? You've messed with your vision by pushing on your eyes. And so, how is it? Why do you see anything in anyone when your vision is impaired? Why do you see the speck when you're not even seeing properly to begin with? Why are you looking to these people to make judgment on their life when you stand in need of judgment? I believe this morning that we do this a lot of times with a log sticking out of our eye to feel better about ourselves, right? If I can focus on what they've got wrong with them, or if I can point out what's wrong with them, then what I've got wrong with me is not that bad, right? It's not that bad. There's a whole genre of television called reality TV. Two times a year, my wife and I are guilty of watching The Bachelor and The Bachelorette just so we can feel better about ourselves, right? It's funny, but it's true. A lot of times, we can look at the mess in other people's lives. We can focus on it. We can make judgment about it in order to feel less guilty about our lives, or feel a little better about our lives. And so Jesus, the first question that he asks is, why do you see? Why are you even looking at other people? You've got a log sticking out of your eye. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye? And then the second question that Jesus asks is this: how can you say? How can you say to that person, let me help you, let me help you, let me get that speck out of your eye, while you still have a log sticking out of your eye? How can you say this to them? I don't know if you've ever tried to do something when your vision is impaired. You know, there's always the bit that they'll put on TV shows or something where someone wakes up early in the morning and they go to the fridge and they get the wrong thing and they pour it in their cereal. And you know how the bit goes. And so, you know, your kid wakes you up early in the morning. You haven't really, you haven't got your bearings. You're not seeing properly. When I was in high school, they came to the school and they brought these glasses that you would put on. It was supposed to simulate being intoxicated, and then they would have us try to do stuff, right? Try to walk in a straight line, try to pick this up, you know, and it you couldn't do it. Your vision was impaired. So Jesus says, not only why are you seeing, how can you say, let me help you? How are you even going to be able to help your neighbor who you're judging when you've got this law? Your vision is impaired. You're not seeing properly. How can you say, let me help you? Let me take that speck out of your eye? Jesus is assuming, he is making the statement known that everybody's got something going on, right? We've all got sin in our life. Jesus is not literally talking about an instance where a man had a speck in his eye and another man had a log in his eye. He's speaking about the state of the world. Sinful people judging one another. Sinful people judging one another. Now, Jesus does not say in this passage of Scripture, don't help anyone. Jesus doesn't say, I've called you to mind your own business and not help anyone. No, in the end of this passage of Scripture, after he calls them hypocrites, you hypocrites, he gives us a model for how we are truly to help our neighbor who maybe has the speck in their eye. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, remove the log from your own eye. Then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your neighbor's eye. I thought about that this week, and I thought about the idea that whenever, you know, you have an injury, say, you know, there's a process of healing, right? I can only imagine if you had, like, a log in your eye and you removed it, there's going to be a painful removal, and there's going to be a healing process where you regain your vision. You're probably going to need some people to help you out around the house. There's going to be a process of getting over the log that was in your eye. But through that process, you're going to change. You're going to experience grace. You're going to experience mercy. You're going to experience healing. You're going to experience compassion from those that are around you. And so from that position of you yourself being healed from something, then Jesus says, go and help your neighbor. Because I believe if we go through that process of not ignoring the log in our eye, not ignoring the sin in our life, the shame in our life, the failures in our life, but dealing with them, allowing God to help us with them, allowing other people to help us with them, to heal from them, then we can help others. Then we can help our neighbor remove the speck from his eye. Jesus is not vague, and the main point of this little speech is the main point, and that is this morning, don't judge. If Jesus is trying to get any message across, it's simple. Don't judge. Don't do it. Don't judge. I'm reminded of the woman in the Gospels that's caught in the very act of adultery. She's guilty, right? The Bible says that she's caught in the act of adultery, and they drag her out. And these people are around her, ready to judge her, ready to exercise the law against her. Because according to the law, she's guilty. According to the law, she needs to be stoned. And so as they are holding the stones, Jesus says to them, "You without sin, throw the first stone." Then the Bible says that Jesus knelt down and wrote something in the sand, and when he got up, there were no more accusers around the lady. You know, this whole theme of not judging is something we've lost track of in our culture. We are so polarized. We are so either this side or that side. We are so right or wrong that we are just, we can't help ourselves but judge. And we have been fooled to think that by judging we are loving. And we're not loving people. By calling all the flaws out in someone, you're not loving them. You're not helping them. You really want to help them? Get your heart right and then go help them. Go help them. We live in a world where to justify our thought process, we have blurred the lines of love and judging. You see, Christ has called us to love them so that we can bring healing to them. Our vision here at the church is bringing the hope, but the it goes beyond that. It's bringing the hope and healing of Christ to our community one life at a time. God has called us to be agents of healing in this world. But we will never heal. We will never be used to heal if we stand in judgment of those around us. I don't know what your life experiences have been. I don't know what you have gone through. But I know in my life, there have been moments where I blew it. There have been moments where I failed miserably, on display for all to see. And I can tell you that in those moments, I've encountered two types of people. I've encountered those that judge. I have been judged. I have felt the judgment. And I can tell you the damage that can be done from that is lasting. Because even still to this day, sometimes I still question, you know, am I really over it? Was it just as simple as God forgive me? You know, that was pretty bad. That was a mess. And so I've stood in judgment. But I can also say that I've been the recipient of healing in those situations. There have been people who truly loved me in spite of the failure that I was, the poor choices that I made, the guilt that I brought upon myself. People loved me. They walked with me. They helped me heal. And I can tell you that one was extremely effective and one was not effective at all. We cannot forget that everyone stands in need of judgment. The second we start judging according to Jesus, we're going to be judged. And the intensity for which we judge is the same intensity that we are going to be judged. God has called us to love. He's called us to bring healing. We cannot do that if we stand in judgment. I referenced our vision statement of bringing the hope and healing. Here at Conyers, we've we've kind of reduced it to a hashtag for our social media presence, and that hashtag is hashtag bringing the hope. If I could summarize Jesus's message this morning, it would be simply this, hashtag no more hypocrites. Jesus was sick and tired of it. He was sick and tired that the people who spoke for God, the people who spoke for God, did so from a standpoint of judgment. The Pharisees stood ready to judge. They created new laws that judged. And Jesus was tired of it. He was tired of them manipulating the law, perverting the law for their own purposes. No more hypocrites. I don't want to be a hypocrite anymore. I don't want to gain from someone else's misery, someone else's struggle, someone else's pain. I don't want my ego to be puffed up when I compare myself to this person or that person. I believe that what Christ is calling us to do is to go through the painful healing process ourselves. Right? Look in the mirror. What's in our lives? What is the log sticking out of our eye? Go through the painful process of getting through that. And when you get on the other side, then you'll be ready to help others. Then you'll be in the right posture to help others. Because you're going to do so with the same care and compassion that you received while you were going through it. So Jesus is not telling us don't help people here. He's challenging our heart. He's challenging how we view people. This is not an easy message to speak because we are so polarized. And there is a strong desire to be right. I don't want to be on the wrong side of an argument sometimes, right? So I am compelled to be right, to try to be on the right side. But too often, in doing so, I find myself judging. This week I was in a small group over at Emory, and we were looking at some of the history of baptism in the church, and we came across a statement that listed some people who, if they had ever had certain professions at that point in history, they essentially were not allowed to ever be baptized. And so, you know, the debate kind of was, well, is this literal? Like, did it really happen this way? And I just kind of laughed a little bit because we're still doing it. Like, we're questioning, were we really that harsh 1,000 years ago when here we are today still determining who can be a part of our fellowship? Who can be welcomed into the body of Christ? Who's in and who's out? We're still doing it. And God is saying, you hypocrites, stop judging. Stop judging. Love. And through loving, you can bring healing. You know, this imagery that he uses is so powerful. Like, what person would not want to help someone that had an injury of some sort? But then Jesus kind of says, yeah, but people are trying to help them for their own benefit. They're trying to exploit them. So how do you avoid exploiting them? Well, you got to get your heart right first. So Jesus came to fulfill the law through love. He's called us to love, not to judge. He doesn't really mix words here. He's not ambiguous. This is not one of his parables that leaves you scratching your head wondering what did he really mean. He's plain. Don't judge. And that's our challenge. That's my challenge for you and for myself today. It doesn't matter what the argument is. It doesn't matter being right or wrong. Don't judge. Amen.